This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A native of West Virginia, Marcus Murrow, is working on a documentary called Looking Up from the Mineshaft about life in coal camps in southern West Virginia. Murrow spoke with Jessica Lilly for this week's episode of Inside Appalachia.
You're working on a documentary that takes a look at southern West Virginia specifically. Tell us more about the show.
Sure. So we really wanted to take a look at people who grew up in the coal camps. And coal camps were these really interesting areas where they weren't exactly cities. They were communities where coal mining companies had came in and set up housing and a pay system for miners. It's not legal anymore to do these type of things, but they would pay them in what's called scrip, which is kind of like an in-kind grant. You can't use the money anywhere else outside of these coal camps for goods and services. So the mine kind of owned everything, the property. But in owning it, they were also responsible for things like schools and doctors and health care and safety. So the mines were really in control of your entire life. So we wanted to go back and really kind of get a chance for these people that grew up in these coal camps to tell their story. And as we were hearing more of it, it just kind of came into saying, you know, this had an impact on them, their families, and a couple generations later. And personally, I started seeing the impact it had on my life from my grandfather growing up there.
So how did this idea come about?
My grandfather is getting kind of old. And he's hitting this age where I was like, you know, I'm never going to be able to have probably an opportunity for my kids to be of an age to talk with him and hear his story. And I said, you know, it'd be really nice if I could get an opportunity to record a little bit of his story. I knew he wasn't going to write anything down for me, you know, but he likes to talk a lot. So I said, you know, I'd like to film him. In the midst of us thinking of that, I immediately said, you know, this isn't just my grandfather. This is an entire generation of people that no one really pays attention to. And they just kind of get forgotten in the political landscape.
Marcus, tell me more about your life growing up in southern West Virginia that you can, that perhaps we might find in this documentary that helps explain the complexities of West Virginia.
Sure. So I think one of the quotes that I use in the film is, you know, growing up, all I heard was you either go in the mines or you go in the military. And once I got over 6'2", I knew I couldn't go in the mines. I was like, this is going to be hard for me to go down there. And there really wasn't any other option stressed on me. Not in a way that people didn't think I could do more. It's just they had never went to college either. These were the options that were given to them. And in our minds, like, mining was a great job. So growing up for me here, it is kind of isolated. I grew up in Beckley, West Virginia, which more accurately, I grew up in Stanford, which is an unincorporated town right beside of Beckley. And it was a great place to grow up as a kid. I loved it. West Virginia, we were neighbors. We're friends. We all know each other. We're kind to people. You don't weren't worried about locking your car or nothing like that. You could just – every part of it just felt like home. And so there really wasn't this idea of me leaving when I was a kid. As I got older, I realized, like, I don't really have a choice here. In my mind, I was like, I'm always going to get back to West Virginia. And I signed up for the military when I was about 16, and I left when I was 17. And after a few years in the military, it just kind of struck me. I was like, I can't really go back. Like, I just don't have an opportunity. I don't have anything to take back with me and do. So for me growing up there, it was a wonderful place. I think like other cities you see where people like go through their, you know, childhood and it's they have this, you know, I need the best new sneakers. I need this. And I was like, I need to hang out with my buddies. And like we work and we like go mow the lawns and shuffle people's driveway for money. And then like we hang out and play basketball and everything's great. And I think that I had a really good experience. Not to say that there weren't a lot of experiences that weren't good. I mean, there was definitely a racial element to it where there were a lot of people that were really racist. And that was hard, but it was still kind of a little – I felt a little sheltered from it. I had so many friends that really just didn't care and would be just as angry if somebody said something mean to me.
So there's a mixture of some people that were really racist, but there's also a lot of people here. Would you say a lot of people?
I'd say a lot, yeah.
That were your friends and would take up for you.
Yeah, yeah. And that was probably one of the things that we also try and really explain in the documentary is that racism is a little different here in West Virginia. I said, you know, you hear these stories of the Old South and how divisive and how there was so much violence surrounding it. And I'm not saying that there wasn't that here. There was a racist element, but we have closer communities. You see these coal camps that we talk to, and they're like, yeah, we played with, you know, black and white kids. We didn't have a choice. There's just not a lot of kids, and there aren't a lot of toys. Hmm. We have to play together. So there was this real sense of a history of saying, you know, we work with side by side with these people. Our parents work together. So I think the racial divide is a little different here. Hmm.
That was Marcus Murrow, one of the producers of a film that's in the works called Looking Up from the Mineshaft. You can hear more of this conversation on this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia, Sunday morning at 7 and Sunday evening at 6, or download the podcast at wvpublic.org. At several power plants around Kentucky, coal ash is mixed with water and stored in gigantic ponds. These ponds typically hold millions of gallons of sludge that contain dangerous contaminants like mercury, cadmium, and arsenic. They sit in and around residential neighborhoods. And as WFPL's Erica Peterson reports, many people living near the plants are still in the dark about what would happen in the event of an emergency.
If the dam failed at the Gent Power Station's coal ash pond, it would only take 20 minutes for the toxic coal ash slurry to reach a residential neighborhood in Carroll County. Near the Brown Power Plant in central Kentucky, homes on nearby Harrington Lake could get 5 feet of sludge. And at Louisville's Mill Creek Power Station, the homes across the street from the plant's ash pond would have a foot of the toxic water within 30 minutes. These are the details included in emergency action plans posted online, required to be made available to the public for the first time last week due to new federal regulations. They outline how power plants will react if there's an emergency dam breach at the site's coal ash ponds, potentially sending millions of gallons of toxic slurry into nearby neighborhoods. LG&E spokeswoman Liz Pratt says these maps illustrate worst-case scenarios. She says the utility is constantly monitoring the ponds to make sure they're structurally sound.
Beyond these plans, we have strict ash storage impoundment integrity programs at our facilities. So this includes inspections, monitoring, and taking preventative maintenance measures.
And she adds that the maps are required to use standardized modeling methods, which
do not take into account additional modifications and improvements that we've made at the sites over the last year and a half to comply with dam safety and federal standards.
Yes, the chance that there would be a large-scale dam breach at any of these plants is unlikely, but it's not impossible. The worst-case scenarios have become reality twice in the past decade. In December of 2008, the Tennessee Valley Authority's dam in Kingston, Tennessee, failed, covering 300 nearby acres with more than a billion gallons of coal ash slurry. And more recently, in 2014, a coal ash spill at a Duke Energy plant in North Carolina contaminated the Dan River. Earth Justice attorney Lisa Evans says the fact that the public can view these plans now is a big deal.
It's a no-brainer that contingency or emergency plans should be necessary for dams that are impounding toxic waste. You know, and yet it was only until, you know, last week that the public could see these plans, and only till last month that EPA actually required them.
But for people living in the affected areas, simply burying the plans online is still falling short. Mark Romines is sitting on his front porch in Louisville with a direct view of the smokestacks of Mill Creek. He points to his location on the emergency map.
According to what I'm looking at here, my house would be right here in this area.
According to LG&E's estimate, it would take 2 hours for a foot of toxic sludge to accumulate on Romines' property if there was ever a breach. Romines isn't surprised, though he thinks it would happen much faster than that because of how close he is to the pond.
That's just unbelievable. This is the first time I have seen this.
Romines says he's been asking about emergency plans for years, but has never gotten them. In fact, LG&E has had some version of these plans since 2010, though they weren't shared with the public. Louisville Metro Emergency Services spokesman Mitchell Burmeister says the agency is prepared to respond to whatever kind of situation may arise at Mill Creek. He says the plant has some outdoor sirens that would go off in case of an emergency. But the best way for area residents to stay informed is to sign up for the city's LENS alert system.
So as soon as we receive a phone call from LG&E stating that there's been some sort of breach, we can use that notification system to alert residents in that affected area.
But in an area with a higher percentage of elderly residents than the city as a whole, some might lack the technical knowledge to go online to sign up for LENS.
I am surprised that there has not been a message sent out to the residents of this area that they now have a danger plan for what to do in the event of an emergency.
Several residents near Mill Creek told me no one had ever approached them with information about what to do if there was an emergency involving the plant. And when asked if anyone would be proactively reaching out to neighborhood residents, there is disagreement between the city and utility about whose responsibility it is.
I don't know that. I think that's a question for LG&E.
That is done with the local emergency management officials responsible for responding to our facilities.
Progress to close LG&E's coal ash ponds has already begun, and Pratt says all of them are scheduled to be closed by 2023. I'm Erica Peterson in Louisville.
Prodigiously talented musician Sarah Charles returns to Mountain Stage this week with songs from her new album, Undercurrent. Here is Sarah Charles with House of Mercy on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
In the middle of the night again, still water and the birds don't sing. Cold gin in the back room I'm in, medicating for the trouble that's coming. Walls rattle like a diesel freighter, blood races like a wave. This house wasn't meant for strangers, but you come knocking anyway. I can hear you knocking on the door. I won't leave it open for you anymore. I can hear you knocking on the door. Knocking on the door of the house of mercy. Don't try and change my mind. That knock gets louder all the time. Don't try and wear me down. You'll never get inside this house. Underneath that shirt you're wearing, strained muscles and a heart of stone. Double crossing like a wild chameleon, you make me wanna be alone. I can hear you knocking on the door. I won't leave it open for you anymore. I can hear you knocking on the door. Knocking door of the house of mercy. Don't try and change my mind. That knock gets louder all the time. Don't try and wear me down. You'll never get inside this house.
That was Sarah Charles with House of Mercy. You can hear this song and more Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Glennis Board, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Roxy Todd, and Jesse Wright. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Teresa Wills.